That was just dreamy. Oh, thank you. Thank you. That was nice. These are the words of William Wordsworth. I heard a thousand blended notes while in a grove I sate reclined. In that sweet mood when pleasant thoughts bring sad thoughts to the mind. To her fair works did nature link the human soul that through me ran, and much it grieved my heart to think what man has made of man. Through primrose tufts in that green bower, the periwinkle trailed its wreaths, and 'tis my faith that every flower enjoys the air it breathes. The birds around me hopped and played, their thoughts I cannot measure, but the least motion which they made, it seemed a thrill of pleasure. The budding twigs spread out their fan to catch the breezy air, and I must think, do all I can, that there was pleasure there. If this belief from heaven be sent, if such be nature's holy plan, have I not reason to lament what man has made of man? So that's our dilemma, isn't it? I was having very deep thoughts about this talk this week. Because it's hard for us to see and affirm divine order when in the last month, 5 weeks, in the last couple of years, for a while now, we've been plagued with the actions of bad actors. And how do we affirm divine order while the actions of the bad actors is so obvious? And it takes us to a deeper question, because we strive to understand, don't we? It's our nature as human beings to try to make things understandable, especially in the face of tragedy or unforeseen circumstances, sudden death, destruction. We have to make sense of it. We have to try to put it together. And I heard a line in a TV show recently where somebody was lamenting the death of their father, and someone told them, well, there's a reason why he died. And this young person said, I don't think there's a reason why he died. I think we have to find a reason. I think we have to look for it. And that, again, is our dilemma, isn't it? Is it that there's a reason for everything, or is it that we find a reason for everything? Do you hear that small distinction there? Well, the answer is yes. Sorry. The answer is paradox. Because that's what it is. Now, if I wanted to really stretch your imagination and get all science fiction-y about it, which I obviously am going to do, I would remind all of us that we are one species living on one planet. We Homo sapiens. What would other sentient beings out there in the universe, what would they do? What are they doing? Do they struggle with these questions like we do? So there's a little brain teaser for you. So I started looking into the field of physics. For a humanities girl all my life, it was a real stretch. But not. because there's a little bit that we have to understand about physics in order to begin to put together why things work the way they do. So I started looking at some theories. Stay with me here. So I went straight to the string theory. And I could only read so far because it's hard. And if you don't have a grasp of basic physics, then it's even more difficult. That was not one of my favorite subjects. It was the only one I hated more than physics was chemistry. So there it is. The string theory, in its easiest explanation, begins to define interconnectedness, a unified field. It's hard to define, though, because it's hard to make the string theory work in every circumstance, and it implies that you have to have a landscape of possible universes. So there's that. But the string theory was to amplify or explain a little bit about quantum mechanics, my next subject. So don't blank out on me, okay? Just stay here with me for a second. So quantum mechanics are probability principles. And you can go all the way back and read Richard Bach, and you can begin to see how these things all thread together. You can keep it really simple with reading Richard Bach. But quantum mechanics implies quantum gravity, and gravity is kind of a unifying force throughout the universe. So there's that. So the possible theory of everything is in quantum mechanics. The theory of everything, which is, you can imagine, is a really big topic because it has everything in it. So then we go to the chaos theory. And I promise this is the last theory I'm going to throw at you maybe today. We have to go back to Edward Lorenz, who was an MIT professor. He was a meteorologist, and he was putting together a mathematical model of weather systems. And he realized in putting together this mathematical model that it's really kind of impossible to do it because there are so many variables that can come up that affect your prediction. So this is your reason not to get upset with the meteorologist, okay? Because they're working in the field of possibilities and probabilities. So the chaos theory is also called deterministic chaos. It suggests that there's a paradox that connects two notions that are familiar and then regarded also as incompatible. In other words, it's this thing and this thing that are opposite or different. They have some similarities, but they coexist. Do you see how? I know those of you who know more about chaos theory are probably laughing at my very simplified and probably somewhat inaccurate explanation about it. But listen to this. Within the apparent randomness of chaotic complex systems, there are underlying patterns, interconnectedness, constant feedback loops, repetition, and self-similarity, fractals, and self-organization. Whew. That's a lot. So the simple way of putting all that together is to say we can't see everything all together at the same time, therefore we can't understand everything. We live in a construct of time and space in which we expect things to have kind of a linear flow to them. We expect things to have an explanation. We expect things to make sense. And they don't. They don't make sense until they do. Don't come to church looking for the preacher to have the answers, because I don't. But what I can offer is that in the midst of everything chaotic in our world and in our lives, if we can just hang on, if we can just affirm that God is present in all things, no matter how it looks, then we can begin to find a pattern, an interconnectedness, a self-similarity, an organizing principle. So we have the choice about affirming divine order or not. If we were nihilistic, we would just say, it's all just CRAP, and that's all there is to it. We're going to die and bye. I did throw another theory at you, didn't I? But I don't think we're that, or else we wouldn't be sitting here today. There is also, besides the thing in us that would despair, there is also in us the thing that hopes. And so it requires us to use all of these gifts that we've been given as part of our makeup in order to begin to put things together. It requires us to have wisdom and faith together, and wisdom and love together. I may have said this to you before, but if we have wisdom without love, we can be harsh. If we have love without wisdom, we can be foolish. And that's just two of those gifts that are weaving their way through us. I was reminded this morning of the very profound words of Alfred, the manservant to Batman, who said, "Some people just like to watch the world burn." Well, if there weren't those people, then there wouldn't be a need for Batman, would there? Even bad actors in our world give us an opportunity to see what it is that we are not. Even bad actors in our world give us a chance to rise above and infuse hope and divine order in the world as a countermeasure. And I may have said it before to you, but I'm going to say it again. In our Wednesday night Lenten reflections, our sharing with each other, which, by the way, I hope you'll join us at any time because we spend about 10 minutes in a very focused prayer for Ukraine. So it's a good time to have like a little prayer group with each other, which is very powerful. But we were talking about the fact that here we sit in our comfortable lives while others are struggling for food, for warmth. That is not to make us feel guilty. It does give us, however, the burden of spiritual responsibility to hold the highest and best, to be a beacon, to shield and protect that flame of humanity for those who can't for themselves right now. Do you remember? I'm sure you remember. A little over a year ago when we were stuck in an icy freeze for a long time. We are not used to having to go back to meet our most basic needs as human beings. We're not used to that. Those are usually taken care of. We don't have to think about them. But we were suddenly thrown into a place where warmth and food and light and water, oh my gosh, water. See, I'm trying to block it out. I was without water for 4 days. And many of you were without water and electricity. And it was traumatic for us because we're not used to having to meet those basic needs that way. And it's hard to hold those higher spiritual realms. It's harder when we're trying to meet our basic needs. So while we're watching people in other parts of the world trying to meet their basic needs, it's up to us more than ever to hold on to those higher thoughts, those higher prayers, that organizing principle of life for those whose lives are chaotic right now. There's an interconnectedness between all of us. We're part of the chaos theory, aren't we? We are strings connecting with others. Those invisible golden threads that bind us together as human beings, those invisible golden threads that bind us to our Creator. That's who we are. That's what we're about. So in your helplessness and hopelessness, stay in those higher realms for the benefit of all humanity. That is an orderly thing to do. We don't know how this is going to be resolved, and part of our frustration is in not knowing. So we have a great realm of complex human feelings around this. And what keeps us from staying stuck in our human feelings is the elevated spiritual orientation that we all have. So today when we're talking about divine order, it's important for us to remember that it's up to us to see it and hold it, to know that it's there. In the Revealing Word, Charles Fillmore, our co-founder, defined order this way: the divine idea of order is the idea of adjustment. And as this is established in human thought, our mind and affairs will be at one with the universal harmony. We'll find empowerment and freedom in our ability to adjust, to switch, to shift, to transform, or to modify our thought and action. Beloved, you know that there have been people that have performed an act of kindness for you. Maybe even a passing smile, a generous thought, a connection. And it may have shifted your entire day. But that person might not ever know how much their act of kindness meant to you. And the converse as well. And so by that one act of kindness, then you have a different day. And therefore, the people that you encounter, the thoughts that you hold, will make another shift in the world. Professor Lorenz that I spoke about, he's the one that wrote the paper on the butterfly effect. Because we have no idea how the whole pattern looks. And I know that this has been used over and over again, but it's worth repeating. Looking at the back of a tapestry. On the front is a beautiful depiction. It's beautiful art on the front. On the back is a chaos of knotted threads. Yes? I'm not a seamstress, but I know that anything I ever tried to sew always looked better on the outside than it did on the inside. Ooh, scary there. The few times I tried to sew, my granny, who was a seamstress by trade most of her life, she was so kind. She's like, "Oh, honey, look how hard you tried." So sometimes I'm here than not. We can't see the beautiful picture. But we keep weaving, don't we? We just keep weaving. And we keep dropping our acts of kindness, our prayers of generosity and hope, our affirmation of divine order despite all appearances. That's what we do. It would be easier if divine order is just something that we slapped over circumstances in the world and said, "Yeah, it's all going to be fine." la, 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 la. I'm going to pretend like it's not there. The real work is seeing what's there and affirming divine order anyway. That's the real work. Otherwise, these are just platitudes. This is just a window dressing. But we have to see what's behind the scenes as much as we can and affirm divine order anyway. It's either that or it's all out of control and we are at the mercy of fate. And I don't believe that's true. I do not. I can think of so many stories and so many circumstances where people have had unthinkable things happen in their lives. And yet they emerge with a flame of resilience, with a flame of strength, with a flame of new direction in their lives. And yes, there are people who choose not to go that direction. And they are consumed with bitterness and hopelessness and sadness for the rest of their days. And our job is to continue to lift people up with our prayers and our thoughts. And beloved, it's okay if you say my thoughts and prayers are with you, but if you're going to say that, mean it. That should not be our go-to platitude unless we mean it. If it helps you, find a new way to say it. And that's what we do in affirmative prayer all the time, isn't it? We find new ways. You do as chaplains, you do as prayer partners. We find new ways to say to each other, God is in this. I've told you before about working in silent unity, our 24-hour-a-day, 365 prayer service for unity worldwide. And I worked in silent unity when I was in ministerial school, and I was kind of surprised, although I knew about affirmative prayer and had studied affirmative prayer and done affirmative prayer, it surprised me when I went to silent unity and I saw that we had a script for every circumstance. Your pet died, you had a car wreck, your mother-in-law isn't treating you right. I mean, it was everything. I didn't mean anything by that. I did not mean anything by that. I thought, how can this work? How can a scripted affirmative prayer really be sincere? It's what we brought to it that made it sincere. It was the fact that we may have said those words hundreds of times to people, but maybe they were hearing it for the first time and had never thought of it that way before. Maybe they had never had anyone see a higher truth in their current circumstances than they'd ever thought of before. And so those affirmations became a part of the fabric of my being because it was one of those times when repetition worked in a good way. It worked in a deep way. It worked in an eternal way for me. Now, here is a caveat. Don't go slapping people around with an affirmation of divine order. Do not do that to people. God's in this. Don't worry about it. La, la, la. Not helpful. Not helpful. Maybe true, but not helpful. We begin with compassion. We begin with compassion. We begin with connection with another. That's where we begin. And then we listen for those words that are the exact right words to speak to that person, to hold for that person in their circumstances. So you may be saying to yourself, oh, I'm just never going to pray with somebody like that. You don't have to pray out loud. But you might be called to. It's good for us to stretch ourselves a little bit. It's good for us to have a little spiritual calisthenics and discover what a difference our knowing the truth for someone else means to them. Look, we're coming into the season of Easter. We're in the season of Easter. So in the next few weeks, here's what's going to happen. Next week, Reverend Kit's going to be here to do her farewell talk and music with us. The week after that, if you weren't here week before last, I announced that Kit is moving on in her career and is not continuing with us. So she'll be here next week. Don't miss it. We're also celebrating our 18th anniversary of this church next weekend. The day before, next Saturday, we're having a memorial service for someone who was one of the ones responsible for us having this place. On April the 10th, the week after, our beloved Stanley Tartikoff is going to, rather than having a traditional Palm Sunday, Stanley is going to come and talk to us about Passover, with his experience growing up and being a Jewish man. So we're going to have Kit, we're going to have Passover, and then we're going to have Easter. So we've got some very deep and meaningful weeks coming up. And the whole Easter story is exactly what I've been talking about. Nobody that was in the orbit of Jesus wanted to see him die. Nobody. They begged him, please save yourself from this. We don't understand why you're letting this happen. Regardless of what actually happened or didn't, the story is that there was order in tragedy. There was a triumph in tragedy. There was a message that's endured for over 2,000 years because of something that was terrible. I remember when I was very young, I read a very graphic description. I was too young to read this. A very graphic description of crucifixion. It was pretty awful. It was pretty traumatic. And over time, what I came to learn is that that was the way you punish criminals under the rule of the Roman Empire at the time. And Jesus was considered a criminal. He was seditious. He was causing trouble. So they put him to death. But the whole message is that he didn't die forever, that his life went on. That's the message. That's the divine order. When I was in my 20s, I was working for the Internal Revenue Service. And I applied for a job to work in the embassies overseas to help Americans with their taxes. So Americans living in foreign countries needing help with their U.S. taxes, which has a little different, the tax law applies differently if you're living overseas. And so I was getting trained in that. And for a whole lot of different reasons, I actually was one of the top people in the country to be selected for this kind of service. And I withdrew my application so I could stay and further my career here in the States. And for a long time, I looked back at that whole thing, and I was like, wow, why did I quit? Why did I quit that application? Why didn't I go ahead and do that? Well, part of the reason was I had to meet my second husband. There's a clue. And that ended in divorce. And then I really was like, dang. Could have gone overseas instead of marrying that guy. Yeah, I was kicking dirt. But I don't know what the butterfly effect was there. There were a whole lot of different variables in that decision-making. That was also a time when bad actors were starting to blow up American embassies. I could have gone that direction and not be standing here today. Yes, we choose to make sense out of our life arc. Isn't it, when you look back on your life, isn't it easy for you now to be forgiving of your youthful mistakes? Those of you that are still in the midst of your youthful mistakes, I hope you're forgiving yourself, because some of us that are older are still making a whole lot of mistakes, and we have to be more compassionate and forgiving with ourselves. We get better at it. We get better at forgiveness. But if we can look back at our life and say, okay, I see how all this came together. Now it makes sense to me. Let's take that same idea. Let's take that same idea and apply it to current circumstances for which we can see no resolution yet, and know that there is an arc that will be revealed to us eventually. And when I say us, I'm not talking about just us in this room. I'm talking about humanity in general. Dan Rather had a column this week in which he aspired for us to be a conspiracy of good people. A conspiracy of good people. That gives me chills. I want us to be that. Will you be that? Will you be part of the conspiracy of good people? Maybe we should make bumper stickers. We are a conspiracy of good people. Unity of Wimberley. But conspiracy also implies that we can do it quietly. We don't have to announce it to the world. We're going to do good wherever we can. We are going to affirm and participate in, consciously, the divine order of things. So the next time you have a little snag in your day, just go, wonder how this is going to fit into divine order. Can I trust that it is? Okay, I will. Will it be easy? No, not always. Is it important? Yes, always. So I hope what I've done here with the string theory and quantum mechanics and gravity, quantum gravity, the chaos theory, the butterfly effect, is to reveal, to amplify the idea that there are many mysteries in this life. So many. There are so many things that are conspiring within us to take us to that which is highest and best. I heard a lovely story this week of all the weddings that I do. It always is so beautiful to hear the story of how people came together. How they found each other when they least expected it. How one day they looked at someone they'd known for a long time and went, oh, I see you. You wanna? And the other one says, yes. And in that moment, there's a spark in the universe of a conscious decision to love. Now, we don't have to have a significant other to do that. We can look at any person and say, I see you. I'm making a conscious decision to love. And that, my friends, is gravity. That, my friends, is order. That is what keeps us in a flow that already exists, so that it makes a little more sense to us in our limited three-dimensional, four-dimensional, if we're lucky, thinking. I like to dwell in that fourth dimension of the unseen more and more and more. It puts a bright sheen in sharp relief around everything. It does not deny that a thing exists. It just helps us to see it differently. And our world needs us to see things differently right now. I like to think, ever optimistic, I'd like to think that when we see bad actors, they are a resistance against a surge of good, this conspiracy of good people that is going on all the time. We know it in our own lives. We know it in our own lives that when we make a decision about something good, something else will pop up and say, "Are you sure?" I think I'll stop there. I had so much fun. Yeah, I've been talking for a minute. I've had so much fun researching this idea. And so let's take a moment. Just hold it in your heart that divine order is. It exists. Hold in your heart for just a moment that there are things beyond our understanding, just like it said in the scripture today. We cannot lean on our own understanding, but on a greater one, a more perfect one. And with that thought, will you join me in praying for the millions that are displaced, who are grieving and hurting and trying to make all the needs for their lives? All those beloved ones everywhere that are joined to us indelibly. No matter the color, no matter the persuasion, no matter the nationality, no matter the language. The acknowledgement of that golden web that weaves us together, the acknowledgement of that lifts everything. We want for them what we want for ourselves. We cry and we laugh and we aspire the same way. And we live on this planet we breathe the same air we depend upon the same laws of physics that govern this orbiting ball of rock. And so for all the lives that have come before ours and all the lives that will come after, we send out those rays of connectedness and understanding, compassion. And the children, oh, we bless those children, all of them, everywhere. They are our immediate future. And we bless them with goodwill and encouragement. For the spirit of all life, we are so grateful, so grateful. We thank you for the blessings that we are enjoying, knowing that we have a great responsibility to share where we can. And so, beloved, go in peace. Bless in peace. Live in peace. And we say amen. And amen.